Blog Talk Radio.
Frieza's evil was destroyed forever.
How could a Saiyan generate enough power to destroy Frieza?
Now, Cooler, hunting the universe for the Saiyan responsible for his brother's death, has come to planet Earth.
No one's thinking of men live to tell about it.
Show them what you've got, Goku.
Let's go!
Cooler's Revenge, Friday, September 19th at 6. And catch the final episode of IGPX at 6:30.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys. We're not doing the final episode of IGPX at 6:30. We're not doing that. Right? But no, I would like to mention that. That clearly, this is Matt Marrero, by the way. This is Those Guys, Matt Marrero, sitting.
And Tristan Walter.
Yeah, it's Tristan Walter. Not near me. He's actually spiritually he's near me, but physically he's far away, off in Long Island. But obviously there was a little error in the beginning, and what's funny is that error, it's symbolic. It reflects Cooler's error. So everything is one. Everything is all in the same.
It was totally planned.
It was totally planned. And if you think it wasn't, then you're on to us. But really good movie, right? Just first off, really good movie. I want to say you think it's your favorite out of all the films.
Do I have to answer that?
Yeah, well, for the listeners who don't know us, yeah.
Yes, this is my favorite movie. This is hands down my favorite DBZ movie.
This man does very terrible things to himself when he watches the movie. I refuse to watch it with him. It's just, I don't feel comfortable around you
now,
when you
Matt,
watch
it. How would you know that? You've never watched this with me. How would you know what I do to myself when I watch this movie? Have you been spying on me? Does the truth come out here?
Listen, man, all right? I don't need to deny nor deny that. I'm just going to sit here. We're just going to talk about a DBZ movie, all right? Just let's not do this. Let's not do this in front of the people, all right?
Why not?
But,
why can't we let it come out? Huh? What's stopping us? No. Anyway.
I'm really Cooler. No, just imagine that. Imagine if just two characters are just talking, and all of a sudden Vegeta's just like out of nowhere, Vegeta just screams, "I really like the color pink." Just finally gets it off his chest. Just finally, all right, just good for you, I guess. Right? But anyway, so Dragon Ball Z, Cooler's Revenge, also known in Japanese as The Incredible Mightiest versus Mightiest. Because Toei enjoys subtlety, or they actually made their own English title, which is actually really good. The Strongest Rivals. Yes, because obviously the first one that I just said is their Japanese, you know, translated to English. But this one, they just thought, let's make our own, and that actually is a pretty damn cool title. But obviously, America chose Cooler's Revenge. And, yeah, the movie originally came out in 1991, July 20th, at the Toei Anime Fair. Sadly, I'm unable to see what else came out with it, but it was probably some kiddie shit. Just like last time. Just like, it was probably something where it's just, and right after Dragon Ball Z, see lovely, lovely Dokudo-san. You know? Just immediately comes out, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all the kids are like, yeah.
See, I would have loved it better if it was, like, in reverse. Like, the I assume it usually
is the reverse, though. Like, the kiddie stuff gets them, like, all happy. Like, oh, no, like, all happy and relaxed, and then all of a sudden, just as the climax, Dragon Ball Z. You know, I assume that's what they do.
Yeah.
I would hope.
That's better,
you know?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, how else would you do it, you know? But anyway, so we have that. It came out in America January 22nd, 2002. So I want everyone to sit here and think, so 11 years, Matt, 11 years, guys, just...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I was around this... What?
Why you gotta drop the age bomb?
Yeah. Oh, man. But and it's just insane because... you know, they have a few things in here that I don't remember really being introduced at the time, like introduced to at the time. Like, okay, the movie opens up with Bardock, one of your favorite characters, right?
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because it opens up with Bardock, and I think, I don't know if I thought, who is that? But at the same time, even though they did release Bardock, Father of Goku, around the same time, like Funimation did release it around the same time, I didn't purchase it. So I think the only time I knew who he was is through the TV show doing little tiny bits of foreshadowing. Like, because I know that the anime had very little kind of bits of like, oh, this guy I believe is Goku's dad. You know, little things like that.
Yeah.
But other than that, though,
when Frieza, in the anime at least, I believe we would have seen it at that point.
Yeah.
Frieza has a small flashback where you see, you know, Bardock's face kind of overlay over Goku's, and he's like, oh, so you're his son. And it's like, that's who that is.
That's one. And then also I believe the manga was coming out at the time in America because, you know, 2002 I was 10. It was coming out, but I believe it was only at the Dragon Ball stages. So sadly, if you were a kid who just randomly saw Cooler's Revenge on Toonami, you thought, that guy looks like Goku. Who is that guy? Oh, Frieza killed him.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good guy. Like, that's all. So, but for Japanese, it was really cool, I think, because, you know, they show you the TV special, right? And then this gets aired in theaters, and it all connects, you know? I mean, heck, they use the same exact clip from the end in a way that it's really cool in a weird way, where it's like the universe is expanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think this was like the only movie that me and you agreed on that would actually kind of fit in the canon.
It's very interesting because it could fit. I mean, it's weird. It could fit, yes. I mean, you know, from the way it looks like, if it was during the 3-year gap, you know, because I believe technically during the 3-year gap between the training with, you know, for the androids, everyone was off doing their own thing anyway.
Right.
You know, Vegeta was training in space, you know, Goku. Well, actually, wait a minute. Well, yes,
yeah,
there was
Goku
a gap
wouldn't
when he came
have been back.
Back
yet.
Yeah. Well, no, but the thing is, though, is that, let's clarify, no, he did come back. There was a gap between training. So if they decided to just take the day off or something, there were people around.
Yeah.
No, if they decided to take the day off and just go camping, that could actually fit somehow.
Yeah.
But it's very funny because, you know, it's just, is that, there were just a few things in this movie that I enjoyed, but, like, okay, I understand that we have to, you know, make the movie last longer, right? It would be silly if he just immediately became Super Saiyan and then killed a bunch of guys, right? That would be... But at the same time, though, it becomes an issue when you give him that power, and then immediately when he is able to access it, he can destroy the guy. You know, even though it's understandable, it would have been nice if there was a little bit of struggle between Super Saiyan, Goku, and Cooler.
Yeah, I would have probably liked to see that, too.
Yeah. Mind you, it was great. He completely destroyed. To use the internet slang, he pwned him. You know? There was no doubt about it. But the problem is that it took him so long, and in a way, they had to incapacitate him during the film to have it make sense at all.
Mm.
Also, I would like to add, if anyone wants to call in and, you know, and talk about this film, please do. The number is 718-664-9468. The number again being 718-664-9468. We usually wait until half an hour, but honestly, with the way this film, you know, we're talking about a bunch of different things, and I mean, you've already seen the film, so you obviously know what's coming. Call anytime you like. The number again is 718-664-9468. Definitely call in. We would love to hear from you because, I mean, yeah, it's a really good film. And, hey, if you even hate the film, definitely call in. I mean, I don't know if I can control Tristan, but I would love to hear what you have to say.
I may, in fact, try and kill you through the phone. Why?
He may, in fact, immediately just go, just imagine this, just immediately just, you're just sitting there, just, oh, like the movie. Come with me if you want to die. Like, what? Just all of a sudden we just hear Terminator music in the background. Just I was like, all right, Tristan just became Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know when, but
oh, God.
You do not like cooler.
Stand up on end, but.
Yeah, right. No, just Super Saiyan Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's the scariest thing in the world. But anyway, so jumping back to the film, though, you know, I think the gap is really jumping back to like the whole issue of the gaps and how it aired. It's very interesting. I actually didn't see it live. You know, aired. My father actually bought the DVD for me. I believe he bought it with Lord Slug, which we did about 2 weeks ago, you know, show-wise.
Yeah.
And it's just very interesting how I felt as if I was getting the cool, you know, the new thing, because I saw it before they actually aired it. So this Toonami promo, while being amazing, wasn't something that I saw. I think when it came live, I thought, I already saw it.
Yeah.
But hell, I mean, it even aired. It aired on Saturday.
Yeah,
on
I was
Adult
just about
Swim.
To say. Yeah, they actually played it on Toonami.
I don't know why.
Last week. No, I don't know why either, but honestly, I don't care. I wish I could have been there to see it.
Yeah.
Even though I've seen it a million times.
It's very interesting how they try to put things on late night so that they can think, oh, the adults will watch it and we can get past the censors. But then there are people who work late night who are our age. So it's very interesting how it's just we're trying to get the viewers in, but at the same time, we can't. Because people have jobs.
Oh, I was so pissed. I was like, it's not even like I wanted to see it for the movie. I mean, I did, but it was more of I wanted to see it because it was on Toonami. I just wanted to have that feeling again. It's like, I'm watching Dragon Ball Z on Toonami again.
Well, for anyone who's listening and who hasn't heard the news, they will be airing the remainder of Dragon Ball Kai, or Dragon Ball Z Kai, depending on you know your region, Dragon Ball Z Kai on Toonami. Which is an amazing thing. You know, because if you think about it, it's just, that's some pretty... Because... I mean, I would like it to still air on Nicktoons because I do want there to be a wider net, but or at the very least on earlier on Cartoon Network, because I do want the net. Because the thing is let's be honest, this is a show for children. We enjoy it because we enjoyed it while we were children. Yeah. And certain shows for children though are so good that they can kind of transcend, you know, the age limit sort of the age gap or whatever. But still, this is a show for children. And I would like the edited versions to be aired earlier, and then we get the cool late night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Used to do that. They actually used to do that with a lot of shows. They even used to do that, with Dragon Ball Z back in the day. You know, there were many shows that were aired, uncut during the block, and then earlier on during the day, they would just air the, you know, I mean, hell, they had the midnight run. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was called.
But
jumping back into the film, I would like to note that Goku is some kind of being related to either Jesus or Moses, with his ability to just separate water. I would like that to be just Goku. Just honestly, I was waiting for him to say something like, "Let my people go." I was really wondering where this was headed.
Well, was that more of because Goku was doing it, or was that more of because Cooler punched him through the bottom of the lake and he
No, not
made
that.
Him
no, no, you
crack.
Misunderstand. Not that part. I mean, when he with the Kamehameha.
Oh, in the beginning, okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Master Roshi
totally,
just sits there.
Totally Jesus.
And Master Roshi sits there amazed, but not frightened, only amazed.
Well, yeah, I mean, he trained him. I mean...
Yeah, I guess so. But still, it's just one of those things where it's just Master Roshi... That's why I hate that he's written as a pervert, because he's a really great guy. He hasn't tried once, from what we've seen, to kill Goku in his sleep.
Why would he do that?
Lex Luthor tries to kill Superman on a daily basis, thinking, what if he turns evil? What if he turns evil? Master Roshi trained him, and then blinked, and in the blink of an eye, he saw him go from, I'm a little kid with no powers, to, I can sneeze and blow up a quadrant.
Okay, I see.
That's some scary stuff to have to deal with. So, kudos to you, Master Roshi, for not trying to kill Goku in his sleep.
Well, I mean, I think he even says, I don't know if it was in the manga, but I remember a line Master Roshi says in the anime, when Goku was fighting Frieza, they have a shortcut to, you know, everybody back on Earth.
Right.
Saying, you know, why is Goku staying on the planet when they... You know, he could have just come back with everybody else. And, or when his power awakens, I don't remember how, but Master Roshi's You know, he's troubled by it. Like, yes, Goku, you know, it's, but Oolong, like, looks at him and says, well, why would this be a bad thing? He has the power to beat the bad guy. You know, this is great. And he goes,
yeah.
I'm not so sure about that because this is a power that he's never, you know, had any experience with before.
Yes.
This is the kind of power that can, you know, do things to people.
Interesting.
Like,
that was anime only. That was anime only, but I was worried you were going to bring up the fact that it's like, what, I was like, why isn't Goku coming back on Earth? I know why. It's because there's one person on Earth who Goku fears the most.
His wife. No, I wasn't going to go into that, but okay.
Yeah, and that's his wife. Immediately, Chi-Chi comes out with a freaking battle axe.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
That was great. That was there's a few little there's an Easter egg in this film. I don't know if you noticed it. In the background of Gohan's room while he's studying, there's actually a Dr. Slump poster.
Yeah, it's Rayleigh, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I did see that on the wall.
Which is amazing because if any of you don't know, right, and it's fine if you don't. If any of you don't know, Akira Toriyama actually had a full series, like a 19-volume or I believe it was 18-volume series of something called Dr. Slump, right?
Yeah.
And it was a nice little quaint town with this, you know, with this, he was kind of a mad scientist, but he's also an idiot. So, you know, he's really bad at inventing, and he makes this little girl robot who is, you know, has to be like a daughter. And she's just so, you know, so kind of aloof and naive, a bit like Goku. And, you know, and his art also kind of bleeds over where you'll see some characters and you think, Yamcha, you know, is that you, Yamcha?
Yeah.
And it isn't. Or is that you, Bulma? But it isn't. And they've even had a few crossovers here and then. I remember during the Red Ribbon Saga, Goku actually visited the
town. Yeah, with Dragon Ball. Yeah, they did.
Yes.
Where they end up in this, you know, like, oh, where are we in this Penguin Village?
Yes, and they've made that into a special, actually, in recent years. They made that into a full animated special. And so sadly, they've never really made Dr. Slump into anything, at least I think other than maybe an OVA or something. But definitely check it out. Viz still has them, I believe, in stock. I need to actually finish that series up myself. But from what I've seen, it's just a wonderful series. It's just it's awesome. And so little tiny reference right there, and I just thought, huh, that's interesting. Just the things that you don't notice when you're five.
Yeah.
It's the little things.
But that's probably, I mean, I don't know if they, you know, threw that in with thinking the kids would get it, but
I think it was for the adults at the time, or at least the teenagers at the time, because
exactly.
I think about it, the kids at the time would be five, and I mean, technically being five in 1992, you know, it's like the Slump did come out in the 80s, but I still believe that it was made for the people who are really big fans
of the older audience.
Toriyama, who were in theaters at the time, which is crazy to think. Imagine.
Yeah.
In 1991. What?
No, I'm just saying I'm glad they think of that kind of thing, you know.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, think about that, though. That's crazy. Just a crazy thought. You know, we're in 2014 right now. People were in theaters getting references from past works in 1991. who were thinking, we're older, and we're getting this because we're older. Man, this fandom has grown. Whew.
Yep.
So that was one thing. And something that I really noticed that I think, I just find this really funny. Before this, I was thinking of something else. Goku wants Gohan to finish his own work. The conclusion:
this
man is severely ill. That's the conclusion.
I mean,
just really.
I mean, sure. You know, Chi-Chi even states, you know, he's never cared whether you finished your homework or not. But you know, you couldn't have given him the benefit of the doubt, saying, "Wow, maybe he's actually, you know, investing in our child's future as much as I am now. Maybe he's really growing." No, that's not a possibility whatsoever.
Immediately, he's a professional wrestler. Immediately, it's just too many shots to the head. We need to get him out. We need to make him stop doing this. He needs to retire or whatever the hell. There's all this stuff, and then all of a sudden it's just, oh, hey, Gohan, we got to go camping. Which, by the way, something, this quote, I really enjoyed it because, just, you know, it's like, well, what's more important, Goku? You know, this or this? And Goku says, camping, of course.
Camping, of course.
I feel like that's something you would say, Tristan.
Fuck yeah. Of course I would.
What's more important, camping or someone's education? Camping, of course.
Camping. You,
that's why I think you like this
hell
movie
a
so
lot
much.
More from camping.
That's, and you don't have to pay as much for it, right? But seriously though, I do feel as if that's why you like this movie so much. Just the fact that they were camping the entire time.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of the parts that I loved about it, but...
The only thing, the fights weren't even that impressive to you. You just thought, well, camping, I'm sold.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, any of the movies with camping in it, I just, you know, immediately love.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, that's all I watch them for. I just turn it off after they're, you know, done with the camping scene. I don't even watch the rest of the movie. When
yeah,
I did
the
podcast, The Tree of Might, with you, I just bullshitted the rest of that. I've never even seen it before.
That sounds about right. You seemed a bit off that day. That sounded about right. So let's see how
well,
you can bullshit your way through this. Let's see how you can bullshit your way through this.
What are you going to give me trivia now?
No, I'm going to give you false information and then have you believe it.
Oh, God damn it.
It was so cool when Broly appeared. Yeah, I was surprised about that, too. I guess they were foreshadowing future films.
Okay, now I know you're lying.
Yeah, right? But seriously, though, one thing, well, not even seriously, why are we even trying to act as if we're being serious here? Their armor, the, you know, Cooler's, you know, his troops, their armor, I felt as if it was just so backwards and stuff, as if to be different and cool. Like, just, hey, look, guys, we're so cool. Look at the way our armor is.
Yeah.
Because you notice that it kind of, okay, when you saw the front, you realized it wasn't backwards, but when you saw them from behind, it looked as if they just turned their suits backwards and called it a day. And called it a day. Just, you know?
The first thing I would have gone for was, you know, the purple spandex Speedos, but, you know, whatever works for you.
Yeah, right. No, it's the armor, man, because it's like,
it's
Saiyan armor. It's like Saiyan armor, except not, because we're so cool and different, guys.
No
guys are so
way.
We're so hip. You know. Speaking
Saiyan
of
armor,
his,
you're kidding me. No way.
Yeah. Speaking of his, you know, his ragtag, you know, group of jolly men, I really love them because, obviously, of who they were referencing, and it's pretty obvious who they were referencing.
You know,
but his, you know, so, but if anyone doesn't know, they were called his, you know, his Cooler's Armored Squadron. Now, why is squadron an important word? Actually, squadron is the direct translation of the word Sentai.
Yep.
In Japan, there's a show called Super Sentai. That show got adapted in America into the show Power Rangers.
Yep.
So it's really interesting how, I mean, it's funny because it's like, imagine if Power Rangers never worked, right? Like, imagine if the show never even got off the map, right? This would have just seemed, it would have seemed funny, this scene, but it would have seemed so weird.
Yeah.
Even the Ginyu Force, while they were funny, they were just so weird. Like, it never, like, it was just, but now that somehow
it never would have hit you, I guess, yeah.
No, but now, it's the same thing with the Great Saiyaman.
Yeah.
It never hit you. Because yes, you got Power Rangers, but you don't know about Kamen Rider because they've only done two different adaptations of Kamen Rider in America.
Right.
But had you known about Kamen Rider, you would have seen that, and it's only a quick blurb about the Great Saiyaman, the fact that in the original Kamen Rider, right, they had eventually the main actor got injured in real life on set in a motorcycle thing. So they replaced him with a... Yeah, he was doing his own stunts at the time. They replaced him with a different actor, but not as the same character. He came on to be Kamen Rider 2.
Right.
And now Kamen Rider is Ichigo and Nigo, right? And then you have the Great Saiyaman come on, right? And then all of a sudden in that one film when you had Videl being the second Great Saiyaman, I don't remember what it was in the English dub, but I remember in the Japanese dub, it's Great Saiyaman Ichigo and Nigo, because it's Great Saiyaman 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's the same thing, I believe.
Yes, which is hilarious, because also the fact that the second, because it's funny because this, the second Kamen Rider, back in the day, right, Kamen Rider 2, he was very strong and tough, his moveset was very, you know, like he would kind of just grapple you, tackle you to the ground and just start punching you in the face, right?
Right.
That role is played by Videl.
Yep.
Yeah, just the little things here and there.
We know who wears the pants in this relationship.
That's what I think. I'm sure the internet exploded when that came out. wherever the internet was at the time. I'm sure it exploded. point is that, you know, little references like that wouldn't have been gotten. So thank you, Saban, for bringing over Power Rangers and even bringing over Dragon Ball Z originally, because I don't know if anyone doesn't know, Saban was originally behind Dragon Ball Z. And it's very interesting how it had these references to Power Rangers, Power Rangers in the States, and we didn't even realize it. And then when we're watching it, it's just like, we're Cooler's Armor Squadron. Yeah. And you're like, you guys are.
Yeah, I got to say, I love the lead up, before they actually run into them camping. Before the squadron even appears.
Yes.
Because in this movie, they actually sense something wrong. And it's nearby, you know. It's not out in space. It's not like in the earlier movies, you know, usually there's a group of guys and they sneak up behind them and they beat the crap out of them. No, they sense them coming this time. I was so happy.
Oh, yes.
They don't see them. They just hear, the grass ruffle, a pebble fall into the lake, the leaves in the tree, go the other way, and they're just like, wait a minute, what was that?
Well, it shows that they're getting stronger.
That's true, yeah. I guess you could look at it that way, too.
Yeah, and I enjoy that. I mean, I enjoyed, what I didn't enjoy, speaking of the movie's just premise, I actually, while I liked the universe is expanding, I didn't enjoy that it's like, okay, with things that are quote-unquote filler, they're in a way rewriting history, where it's just like, it's just the original manga and the original intent of the story was, hey, Goku, escaped, thankfully. Now it's just, he escaped because Cooler let him.
Oh.
Here's the thing. The same thing happened in recent Spider-Man comics where they actually, something crazy happened, and I'm not going to go into all the crazy stuff that happened, but thankfully Peter has his body back, right? That's how I'll start this off with. Peter Parker has his body back, right? And they start off the new series, Amazing Spider-Man, started off from issue one again. Peter has his body back. But when they started off, though, they actually have a flashback back to, the original, when he got bit by the spider. And so they show him getting bit by the spider again, randomly, redrawn. So it's not like it's an old clip. It's, redrawn and everything, right? So it's it bit him. Okay, that's crazy. The spider fell. Wait, why is it walking up to that girl? Oh, my God, there's another!
Oh.
Right? So that's a cool thing to have in a weird way where it's like, whoa, there's another, whoa, who's she going to be, whoa. But then you realize they just kind of rewrote history.
Yeah, I guess.
That's how I feel, where it's just and especially when, I'm not saying that all new comics are filler or, whatever, but obviously they're written by the, different people than whoever wrote the originals. Meaning the same thing with this, where it's just, it's being written by someone different who's actually the same person, Makao Koyama, who actually wrote the other movies.
Right.
Yes. I'm sorry, Takao Koyama, who actually wrote the first four films, which is very interesting how they just get him to write all the movies, but from the looks of it, nothing else. They get someone else in to write it, but it's just, I know Toriyama has to really approve everything, so he approved it, but it's still very interesting how it's just, now it's just, it isn't that Goku managed to escape, luckily, Cooler's the one who did it. If he had done his damn job better.
Well, that's the thing. Cooler points out that it's not his job. He says it could have even been, King Vegeta on that spaceship for all he knows.
That is true.
He was poking fun at his brother the entire time, saying how, such an annoying bitch he was.
Is the most accurate representation of a brother-brother relationship.
I know, ever. That's why I loved Cooler so much, because he's my little brother is such a fucking prick. And then, everybody makes the joke about Frieza going, oh, my brother is such a prick,
No, what's hilarious is you have Cooler saying that, right? It's like, oh, my little brother is such a little bitch. And you're like, come on, he's your little brother. I am Frieza. all right, I kind of see your point, Cooler. I am Frieza, Lord of All. I rule over everything with a pink iron fist. Yeah, Cooler, I kind of see where you're going here.
Coming from, yeah.
I kind of see.
That's why I kind of like Cooler as a villain in this, because...
I admit that, yes.
You got to see, like, it wasn't just, hey, he pops out of space. Hey, it's Cooler's, it's Cooler's brother. It's Frieza's brother. Oh, my God, he just popped out of space. I'm going to kill Goku because I fucking feel like it. Okay. No, he actually, I don't know, I felt like they seeded him into the story a bit more.
Yes.
Like, I feel like they didn't just pull this one out of their ass. This one feels like it could have actually been true if, you know, Akira Toriyama had wished it, you know?
No, I agree. Though something very funny, I think you may have just been caught up in the child hype, though. You may have just, as a child, you may have been caught up in the hype, and you're keeping it because of nostalgia. Because you're sitting here and thinking, yeah, man, Frieza's brother, he's so much cooler than him. Fuck. So maybe that's what happened. No, but all jokes aside, though, I do like their motif. Their motif is hilarious, where in Japanese, Frieza was actually a bit like Freezer, like kind of like that. It was like Frieza, you know? So they retained it, but it's meant to be like a freezer, like, you know, in your fridge. And then Cooler is meant to be like, you know, like a cooler. And then I love just their dad, who's just King Cold, as if it's like, I'm king of the cold. Like, you are nothing, right? You know, it's kind of... I love their family dynamic.
I mean, less of the names. I mean, I just... Personally, I like Cooler's character.
Yes,
like,
because
a lot of people say the movie villains are just, you know, rip-offs of what, you know, happened in the series. And to a degree, that can be true, yes.
Right.
It's, you know, apparent in a lot of the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Cooler had enough of his own personality where I could like him as his own character.
Right.
Like, even just from the few lines that he says in the movie.
You
know, when he's stopping Salza from, you know, firing at Goku's space pod, he's like, let my brother clean up his own mess. I've got 7 other planets to destroy by the end of the day. I can't be responsible for his ass.
Yeah.
You know,
actually,
and
you know,
even when they go to the one where he's on the barren planet and, you know, they say, oh, my God, somebody's killed Lord Frieza. Really?
And?
That he's dead, but I do care that he's disgraced our family name. Now I have to go and kill whoever killed him.
Yeah. What I will say, though, is that Funimation, as great as they are, by the way, would love to have a job with you guys. Love you guys. Ball was a bit dropped, though. Ball was dropped in terms of the voice, because I understand why. Okay, so in Japan, they use the same voice actor for both of them. You know, which is really cool. And he did a different voice, but it's the same voice actor. The problem in America, in my opinion, where, yes, obviously you have to use a different voice actor because Frieza's voice actor at the time was actually the voice actress.
Yeah.
The same one who did Genkai at the time in Yu Yu Hakusho. But so I understand.
Oh, God, that was a creepy realization.
Oh, yeah, that really was creepy at the time. But I was like, who is that? Who is that? Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
But anyway. But seriously, though, so I feel as if, you know, it's like, yes, it was so, you have to get someone a bit different, I understand, but I wanted it to sound more regal, you know? We needed someone who sounded a bit more like royalty. I'm not saying Cooler's voice didn't sound amazing. Again, Cooler's voice sounded, it actually sounded a bit cold.
Like you were saying about Vegeta, too.
Yes.
You were saying.
Yes. Again,
you wanted a more
like
regal voice because they're a royal family, basically.
Yeah.
Which,
and
you know, makes sense.
And I'll say it one more time, and I mean this all puns aside. His voice did sound cold. It did sound chilling. You know, it was a good voice. I like the voice actor behind it. However, I just have to say that, you know, again, it needed to be a bit more, you know, regal. And, you know, the voice actor behind his voice has done a lot of work for Funimation once I actually find out who you are. Oh, what's very interesting is that people have said his voice is a bit like Hugo Weaving.
Mm-hmm.
Who worked on the Matrix films, Mr. Anderson, you know? Which is very interesting. The voice, his voice is actually Andrew Chandler, who has not only done the narrator in GT, but who has also been Byakko and Baken in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Right, Yu Yu Hakusho, yeah.
Also, he was Yama and Big Pan from One Piece.
I did notice that.
And... to top it all off, he was bald in Full Metal Alchemist, who is very important when you remember how he looks like.
Right.
When you remember when you remember who he is, you'll realize that guy was important. Yeah. And before we jump back to the film, I want to mention, speaking of voice actors, Salza, right, who is the one who many of you thought was the random French guy, was actually in real life a random French guy. He only worked on one Funimation film, right? But in France, he's actually a director and an actor. So in France, he has done a lot. And you probably do know his name, Michael Marco. You probably do know his name. But in relation to Dragon Ball Z, you probably don't. And it's very interesting. I looked him up on IMDb, and you see pictures of him from all different kinds of, you know, live-action stuff. And then you see a picture of Salza. And you're deeply confused.
And you just go, wait, what?
but he was so great. As a kid, I loved his voice. It was just beautiful. Just because everything he said, it dripped off of him. Like you felt as if you waited to hear every little word he said. Where it's just, you know, where it's like, is that Frieza? You stupid imbecile! That isn't Frieza. That is his brother, Lord Cooler. Like every little thing, you were just like, I want to hear more.
The most serious fighter in the universe. Soon
yeah,
mercy. What
yes.
Mercy?
Just like that. Just like that. It was just beautiful. You did it better than me. Good job there. High five.
Okay.
Oh my god. But we actually have to do this movie. We have 24 minutes left. We have to actually talk about movies and stuff. What are we doing here? This movie had amazing fight scenes. I can't even choose a favorite. Can we agree on that? Okay. Speaking of Goku being incapacitated for the film, again, we mentioned it a bit before. It has happened before, but, you know, it is a bit interesting because it hasn't happened in the majority of the DBZ films, like, up to this point. So, like, it's kind of new, you know? So it's kind of new, in a way, because it hasn't been overplayed yet. But the problem, again, comes with it being an issue where if he had the power to turn Super Saiyan immediately, like, it becomes an issue. So they really need to do something with these powers in a way where it's just, oh, no, they brought down something that suppresses my power level. Something weird like that.
Yeah. I feel like they were, well, I mean, this is where the movies, you know, tie into reflecting the series. I feel like they were playing off the fact that Goku really hasn't gotten control of it yet. Like, he
I
can't
assumed
really
as much.
Quit willingly.
I agree. I felt the same way, but it would have been a nice reference. Like, it would have been nice to reference it in the action, like, just a throwaway line.
Yeah. You're right.
And also, this movie actually had some scary scenes. You know? Like, you really did feel like there was a chance that some of these characters could actually get hurt. Not die, but could actually get hurt. And,
shit, when he blew up Piccolo.
Yeah.
Like,
and I do have to say,
the look on Goku's face was the look on my face, too, because I was like,
oh
crap, they're going to lose the Dragon Balls again, aren't they?
And I also have to say that it's true. And I also have to say that it's a weird feeling, though, that we didn't have people like Piccolo or even, like, you know, come there sooner or even have Yamcha at all. Like, I understand that it may have been something where Yamcha may have been dead at the time, but Tien and Chaozu were dead, right?
Yeah.
Because although there is the gap, so technically I think with the gap, I think everyone was alive training for 3 years.
Yeah.
So if this is gap, then everyone should be there. Even if it was for some reason, let's say, Goku's on Earth, but everyone else is dead because filler, right? Then Yamcha would still be alive. So we had no Yamcha, which it kind of made me upset, where it's just, could you guys, like, not just fit them in just for the sake of getting beaten up? I would have taken that. I would have liked that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is because the thing is they try to make these events very, you know, large and cataclysmic. And when these happen and there's no other Z fighters around, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like, why didn't they even, you know, show up to see what was going on? Not that they would have really helped out in any way, unfortunately.
I'm wondering if maybe there was a point where maybe during production they thought that Cooler would maybe have some more men or some little tiny things here and there to try and, like, throw out that they could fight in other areas maybe without being really involved, but sadly that never happened. jumping back to the Sentai for a bit, just for a split second, it's kind of funny because there have actually been three-man teams before in Sentai, not so much in Power Rangers, because in Power Rangers they usually stick with the... Because the newer format is usually five people in Sentai, the newer format. So Power Rangers adapted it when they had that five-person format. But back in the day, they've actually had a few teams, or a few scenes here and there where they've only worked with three people.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting how they kind of reflected that. Like, it's literally the show they can only actually think of in Sentai that had three people was the Taiyo Sentai Sun Vulcan, the Solar, the Sun Squadron Sun Vulcan, which is funny because three-man team, you know, they did some kind of crazy poses as well, most do, and then here they are reflecting them, and they also and Sun Vulcan also came out in the 80s, by the way. So if they wanted to reference anything at the time, they were probably referencing Sun Vulcan from the 80s, which was only a few years prior at the time. Trivia. But anyway, moving forward. We don't have this kind of time. I loved the songs. The score for the English version. Yeah. Of course I love the Japanese version. Of course.
I was waiting for this.
But the English version is amazing. I mean, we have songs that I'm a fan of now that I didn't realize I was a fan of at the time. The Game by Disturbed, Change by Deftones, among many others.
Yeah,
I mean,
Breaking Point,
beautiful.
Drowning Pool, American Pearl.
Oh, yeah.
I've listened to other songs by American Pearl and Breaking Point. Holy fuck, they're good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's it's my opinion that their taste, at least for the specific songs, kind of diminished in later movies. But this was the perfect mix of...
Exactly.
It didn't make
this
things
one,
feel awkward.
Right.
Yeah. I think the only one that I felt a bit weird, like it was kind of just ham-fisted, like just thrown in there really to be was when Gohan was flying with Icarus.
Yeah,
like
that was
the one time where it could have not been there, the only one. But every other one was just so powerful. Though it's funny how the game got edited. Because usually, it's great. Because they'll curse and everything in the game. And I hate to use that word, but that phrase. But yeah, in the song, the game, they'll curse a lot and stuff. And they'll say, like, bitch or whatever. And you can see how it got edited out. In a weird way, where it became instrumental only for certain parts where they were throwing out random curses. And I thought that was kind of funny. By the way, speaking of scary scenes, just some of the death scenes were a bit horrific. I'm just saying.
I mean, the first one to go down.
Dore?
Cooler's men. Well, he just got completely obliterated.
I'm just speaking of the specific men, though. Like, I believe, Dore, which is the one that had the retractable head, who is voiced over by Mike McFarlane. Mike McFarlane, who does the voices of Yajirobe and Master Roshi.
Yeah.
And that was just terrifying.
Oh, God, I love that so much. Is it weird that I laughed more at that scene when I saw it? Because he's just speaking out of his ass the entire time, looking at Piccolo like, "Ha, deep right now. Like, you must feel so stupid right now."
Just the
look on Piccolo's face. My God, that beautiful.
One thing I want to mention.
He turns his head a little bit and smirks and just grabs onto him and shocks him to death. It was so beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of, remember when Salza destroyed destroyed the bag of sensu beans?
Krillin goes, you
ruined everything! And I'm sitting there thinking, it's okay, Krillin. We always blame the French for shit, too. It's okay. Like, it's not just you, Krillin. It's not just you. It's okay. Continue.
I thought that was a great twist, too, because, everybody... Oh, they always rely on the sensu beans, and it's like when they get the sensu beans, it's like, okay, everything's going to be okay now. We're going to be fine. You're going to eat this, and you're going to... Oh, God, it's gone.
Yeah, this was definitely written to screw with us, which is great, by the way, because you need that more.
Yeah.
Speaking of twists that sadly never... some twists that sadly never were, it couldn't be the pig, could it? I was really hoping for Super Oolong. But alas, dreams are just that. You know, it's just, I was a bit upset. Sadly, no Super Oolong, But
it was funny. As a kid, it took me a while to actually understand what he was saying during that line. Because when I was a kid, I couldn't hear it. And I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, I agree.
And then when I finally heard it and I got it, oh, God, I died.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the songs they used, I loved how the game was muffled when they went underwater.
Yeah, yeah, that was a great effect.
I was like, oh, that's it. Like, as if they're saying, that music is the shit, isn't it? Yeah, I love it. Like, as if they're hearing it while they're fighting.
Yeah.
Just like, yep.
Well, I think they even did that in the opening a little bit, too, which that was amazing, too. I love the black and white effect, too. Like, when they're doing the flashback,
it's kind of
everything's overshaded in that dark and yellow type color.
I really enjoy it.
And then when the explosion actually happens, the color comes back in, and then there's the movie title, boom. I thought that was the best opening ever.
Most definitely. Also, speaking of the, you know how we've mentioned through these past few movies that there's a lot of environmental references. I would like to mention that Cooler making a hole in the earth where water was flowing into is probably not good for the environment. I don't work for anyone that works to help to better the environment, but I'm pretty sure that's bad.
Yeah, rapid redirection of water flow is usually never a good thing.
But Cooler did do a really cool thing. He went straight through Goku's Kamehameha.
Oh God, yeah.
I'm just saying.
When I was a kid, yeah, that scared the ever living shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
as soon as
he did, like, he didn't even, deflect it or, like, take it and be like, no, I'm fine. No, he goes through the fucking thing, and it was just oh, dear God, we're all going to fucking die.
It's so good that I'm pretty sure that has been translated to the video games, right, where you can do that in the video games, I believe. Am I right or am I wrong? Where you can actually,
actually don't know. I really haven't kept up with, the more recent ones.
Okay. No, because I know
like
you can obviously
PS3
reverse or you can have struggles. I know you can have reverse and you can have struggles, but I'm wondering if you could actually freaking go through it.
That I don't know of.
Oh, that makes me sad. I wish you...
Yeah.
Hey, you're making more video games? How about you do that, huh? Shall we?
Yeah.
But anyway... but also, the scene where Goku turns Super Saiyan is probably I might have to rewatch the series, but as I remember currently, my favorite Super Saiyan scene, transformation scene.
Yeah.
It's the music, and I think it's just everything surrounding it.
Yeah.
But how would you feel? I know you were saying how it was just a great scene, because I know you've talked about it. You've talked about the music during this movie. So what did you think about the scene?
Yeah, I thought it was amazing, and I thought, the music worked perfectly. And I don't know, it was just the fact, you don't even see him, yell or his eyes go back or anything. It goes out to, the outlying wasteland that is around now, and you just hear the scream in the background,
and you sort
of see the pebbles, rise up a little bit and then fall back down. And then it goes back to Cooler, and he looks down, and he goes, wait a minute, he's different, he's changed. And then you just get the close-up of him, and he looks up, oh, God,
that scene just chills even today.
It's
so iconic, I think, that whenever people do these fan-made Super Saiyan scenes, the pebbles, it's always the pebbles.
Yeah, it's always the pebbles.
Yeah. It is. And speaking of Cooler, we mentioned before how, Cooler, his voice, but I would like to say that whoever wrote for him was perfect. His monologues were amazing. He was everything he needed to be and more.
Yeah.
The fact that he was just so much, I am better than you, in a way that actually, in my opinion, trumped Frieza's.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Frieza
was just not to bring this to a dark place or anything, but Frieza always just played the racism card.
Yeah, always.
Every time. He's like, you're such a dirty monkey, you can't beat me. It's like,
whoa.
Immediately,
black people are offended. He's like, no, I love African-American people. I just don't like these monkeys. No, I'm not calling you monkeys. I'm not calling a subset of your race monkeys. I'm just talking about the monkeys that are Saiyans. Why can't I just be racist to others?
I'm going to kill you all equally. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Just immediately he goes, you know what, that's it. I'm going to kill all of you equally. You know, as if that makes it any better. Just, well, you know what, at least he's a stand-up guy now. He's going to murder all of us.
He's going to murder all of us equally. I know Cooler played it. You know, I think he may have said, you know, to the monkey line maybe once or twice, Frieza couldn't stop saying it every freaking time Goku landed a punch.
Exactly. Just punch in the face. Just, I have to admit, that was a really good punch. Thank you, Frieza, you damned dirty monkey. Really? Even in the compliment?
Really?
I'm complimenting you, you monkey.
Yeah.
I'm complimenting you, monkey. Like, as if that's like, his name.
Yeah. I mean, Cooler.
No,
Cooler even looked at it like Goku was a threat. Like, I mean, yes, he killed his brother, and he's like, oh, this one knows how to fight. Impressive. But he actually took it seriously. Like,
well, not
even
at
when
first,
Goku was,
but eventually.
Well, actually,
you know what? No, fair enough. He took it seriously enough to use it.
It was after Cooler transformed. Then he
thought,
he can't beat me now.
Right,
but
you're correct.
You know, this
is
the power
of
Super Saiyan, you know.
Yes.
Because
at the beginning,
Cooler was probably holding back a little bit, although
but not
he was
too much, though, I think.
No, he was in his technical, you know, third form, which is supposed to be the final one, which I also thought was cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cooler's not a dick about it. If he's going to destroy you, he's going to do it all out. You know,
he doesn't
do this holding back shit or, you know, oh, I haven't transformed to this in, you know, thousands of years. No, Cooler gets the motherfucking job done. If he wants you dead, you'll be dead. He does not stick around. And that's what I loved about him. Cooler didn't take any shit. He said, I want him dead. Bring me his body. Let's blow this place up. I've got 7 more to go. Let's do this.
Yeah, right.
You know?
We have plans today. Yeah,
We have a schedule.
We have a, you know, we can't deviate off. You know, we can't deviate from the schedule. But I would like to say though, before we have to go, sadly, teardrops.
Oh, no.
I know. I would like to mention that while I mentioned this earlier. I don't like the idea of see, this has always happened. You just didn't know about it. You know, with the whole like you know, Cooler being behind everything in a weird way. But I would like to say, though, that the realization that the bad guy could have actually done something to stop the good guy is always a good one. That's always a good thing.
That's I was about to say. Like, I love, you know, I can understand where you're coming from, but I love the fact that it comes full circle at the end.
Yes, full circle is amazing because
I let him go.
All he had to do was just care about his brother. You know, he's a shithead, but he was his brother. All he had to do was just push the button, and he would have killed Goku, the man who has done so much good and will continue to do good until they get tired of writing movies. But that'll never happen because money. And, of course, because Akira Toriyama does enjoy, you know, working on you know, Dragon Ball Z projects, clearly. But, it's just one of those things where it's just, wow, you know, it's interesting. But before we go, we have, you know, we do have a few minutes. Any other notes, any other little things you would like to throw out there that we could talk about? You know, anything funny, any random lines, anything?
I definitely want to say I love how, you know, Goku finishes him.
Because
it's not a spirit bomb. It's not, you know, his own attack. No, he redirects Cooler's attack back at him. And it's funny because Cooler, you know, he says, you know, I am the most mighty in the universe. You know, I decide who lives and who dies. And he transforms and he says, so this is the Super Saiyan. You're too much. And he blasts him and it does nothing to him. But, of course, Cooler wasn't aiming to destroy him with that. He's going to blow up the planet now. And he's like, sweeping on the job, Super Saiyan. I can gather energy a lot faster than my brother. You shouldn't have taken your eyes off me. And, you know, even Goku for a second's like, oh, crap, I really did fuck that one up.
Yes, I really did blink. Damn.
And, it, you know, Cooler's, even even when Goku, you know, blasts it back at him,
right.
Cooler's still weighing his options. He's like, no, I'm not dead yet. I've still got options here. You know, I'm going to get off this thing, and when I do, I'm going to rip him to pieces. Oh,
yeah.
Well, there's the sun. Well, maybe I could just blow that up and let them all freeze to death.
Yes,
oh, wait
and
a minute.
All of a sudden,
I'm having my sword.
That was the best. That was the best line in the world. Just as if, oh, hello, look, it is the sun. That's pretty cool. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
That's pretty hot. Yeah. But yeah, it was a beautiful ending, though. I feel as if, you know, and it's the first one that ever did that, so it's just, you know, it's happened in later films, but it was just the first one to do that, so it felt a bit more, you know, unique.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but so sadly, we are ending.
I know.
You know, please
I
like
could
us
talk
on
about these things for hours.
Yeah, he could. Please like us on Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, if you're looking at the URL, or simply searching us, search up Those Guys. We, you know, do a lot. I mean, currently, you know, Tristan and I try to do a weekly Dragon Ball Z show on the movies. You know, this weekend, Sunday, we're going to be doing Payback. Not Tristan, though. Myself and Satish Ram will be doing WWE Payback, the pay-per-view. Usually we do some wrestling stuff. Usually, you know, we'll have Tristan on for anime. And, heck, we've even done Supernatural, How I Met Your Mother. You know, wide net, everyone. So definitely spread the links around. We'd love to get some more listeners. We'd love to get some more callers in the future. You know, definitely call in. I know it may seem a bit, you know, strange. I know we're both talking and whatever, but please, we'd love to hear you guys talk, you know, because, I mean, we can gush about the films for so long, but I'm sure if you think, wow, I had something different to say, call in and say it, you know?
Yeah.
We don't bite. We physically can't. Even if we did bite, we physically can't. There's no way to actually bite you, even if we did. And that's that. I mean, thank you for being on, Tristan. You know, a bit upset that you couldn't see the Cooler movie. Neither could I, sadly.
Yeah.
But hey,
but
I mean, we'll probably
pleasure being on here, Matt.
Of course, and you know, next week we should be able to do the second Cooler movie. Cooler's
yep.
Revenge. Not Cooler's Revenge. The
Cooler.
Return of Cooler.
God damn it!
I always. Yeah, no. That, because it makes more sense. But anyway. But yeah, the Return of Cooler. Right?
Yeah.
Because, which I understand why you aren't a big fan of, but I have to say there are some redeeming qualities.
Oh, yeah.
There.
I'm not saying,
it's
you
just,
know, it was a cool movie. It's just I love the first one better.
Of course. And if you want to hear us talk about this more, please definitely listen into this next week. If you want to know when it's going to happen, exactly, when. Like us on Facebook. We will definitely update you there. We usually have daily updates on what shows that we're doing and when we're doing them and et cetera, et cetera. So definitely like us on Facebook or email us at Those Guys on the Radio. If you're on our Facebook, definitely, you know, post some show ideas. We'll definitely love to at least hear your ideas and see, you know, I mean, what we could do. I mean, we don't really do video games as much, but I mean, obviously we've done, you know, both Satish Rem and I have done a Pokemon show. Based on the new news of, you know, Omega and Sapphire,
yes,
you know, the new
no,
remakes
cool,
of Ruby and Sapphire. Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, and again, so thank you guys for listening in, and you were listening to Those Guys. And we will be signing out shortly, rather shortly, but not that shortly, but slightly shortly, but not that soon,
wait for it.
But occasionally.
Wait for it.
We can do this all day.
Okay.
Here we are. Or not.
We're
everybody.
Continuing. No, we're not.
It's coming. It's coming. Oh, it's going to get there. It's going to happen.
There it is.
Shout out.